Go to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter 19. Begin reading in verse 24. We'll read all the way through verse number 37 this morning. Gospel of John, chapter 19. Be reading responsively. I'll read verse 24, then you'll join me on verse 25, and we'll read that way all the way through verse number 37. The Bible says in John chapter 19, verse number 24, "They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciples, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers, with a spear, pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken." And join me on verse number 37. And again another scripture saith, "They shall look on him whom they pierced." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you this morning, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We just celebrated your birth, Lord, and we thank you for coming to the earth. Lord, we thank you for your sinless life, and we thank you for dying on the cross for us. Each and every one of us here this morning that are saved, we owe a great debt. This morning, Lord, now as we hear the truth that has been prepared for us, please prepare our hearts, Lord, not just to hear this truth, but to take it, to hide it in our heart, Lord, and to put into practice, Lord, that which you've taught us. Lord, please fill us with your Holy Spirit's power as we listen. Be with our preacher, fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. Speak to our hearts and change lives today. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Give me the next 35 minutes or so. I want to help you. I want to preach to you this morning. But may I start by saying this. I hold in my hands the only book God ever wrote. Amen. The King James Bible. It is the perfect, the infallible, the exact words of God. May I say this? It's as exact now as it was in heaven before it was given to man. Amen. It is the word of God, preserved and inspired in the English language for English-speaking people. Say, you make a big deal of that, preacher. I do. It is the foundation of our faith. Amen. It is everything we need for faith and practice. The methods that we need are in it. We don't need modern contemporary junk. We just need the old black book. Amen. Jesus said upon this church, I'll build my church. How about we do it his way, not man's way? Amen. I'm a little tired of our generation that wants to build a church to appease people. How about we do it to appease God? Right. How about we go back to the founder and do it his way? Amen. You buy a McDonald's. Let me rephrase that. You buy some franchise corporation. You have to do it their way, not your way. Isn't it amazing? We want to franchise the church and build it man's way and call it God. Doesn't make much sense to me. How about we go back and do it the way God said, do it? May I say this? The Bible ought to be our final authority, not man. Not a preacher, not a priest, not somebody they call Papa that dresses like Mama. It ought not be anything like that. It ought to be that the Word of God is the final authority. Now, you say, preacher, are you mad? No, I'm just getting started. We see twice while Jesus was on the cross, and we see twice after his death as they were taking him down, an amazing statement. It says in verse 24 that the scripture might be fulfilled. Look at verse number 28. The Bible says that the scripture might be fulfilled. Look at verse 36. That the scripture should be fulfilled. And verse 37, and again another scripture saith. Four times in this passage we see the statement that the scripture might be fulfilled in reference to Calvary. Amen. May I say something very, very important here? Yes, Calvary was necessary for salvation. It is a very important part, but just like the virgin birth was important, Calvary was important. But it wasn't the only factor of it. But Calvary was important for more reasons than just, and I hate using that term, than just salvation. I'm going to read this to you. You need not turn there. You could write these verses down. But Romans chapter 5, verses 18 and 19 says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many were made righteous. Can I tell you something? One man sinned. His name was Adam. Because of that, we are all sinners. Not only are we conceived in sin, we're born sinners. Did you know you didn't need taught how to sin? You did it naturally on your own, didn't you? Some of you did it really good. That was an appropriate time, Brother Scott. May I say this? It took the shedding of blood for the remission of sin. I don't care what the fancy britches preachers say, that it was just the death of Jesus. No, it was the blood of Jesus. He died as our sacrifice. He died as our lamb. He was buried and resurrected, but he came up out of the grave as our high priest, and he put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, the scripture says. Calvary was also necessary, though, for something else. This is what I want to focus on today. Calvary was necessary to give authority to the Word of God. It said that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Can I tell you something? Calvary was necessary for salvation. Thank God, yes, it was. But it was also necessary to prove that that is the Word of God. It gives added credibility to the scriptures. I'm going to focus on that a little while today here. And I want you to listen very carefully. In other words, Calvary is a way of proving God's words are God's words, not man's words. They are the living words of God. They are the eternal words of God. They are the perfect words of God. They are the inspired words of God, not just the ones in the original language.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? This is why Christianity doesn't need rituals. We need the Word of God. This is why we don't need holy days. We need the Word of God. This is why we don't need the practice of religion. We need the words of God. Now we have the credibility of God's words being complete and able to stand alone as truth. May I say this? There's not another edition coming? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I hold in my hands the every word of God to the English-speaking people. If not, God's a liar. We're all going to go to hell and fry and die forever. There has to be an every word Bible somewhere, or God's a liar. And may I say this, God's not a liar. 1 Timothy 2 says, God cannot lie. Hebrews 6 said, and our God that cannot lie.
That's right.
Now, hang on. I'm just getting warmed up. I'm not angry. I'm excited. Now, the Bible itself, in obedience to it, is what we need. We don't need man's religion. Man's religion is trying to appease God man's way, not God's way. Now, listen very carefully here, and I want to help you. Yes, the church is part of it, because that's one of the things that Jesus instituted while he was here that is in the scriptures.
Right.
He did away with the temple.
That's right.
That's one reason they crucified him. The chief priests got ticked off that Jesus said, I'll destroy the temple and in 3 days raise it up again. They said, what are you talking about? It took us decades to build that. He said, I'm not talking about that one. He came to fulfill the law. Watch this. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God?
Right.
The moment a person realizes they're a sinner, the moment that they realize they cannot pay their sin debt, and the moment they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, something miraculous takes place. It's called salvation.
Amen.
It's called being born again. What happens is this, they go from trusting their own works to trusting what Jesus did to take them to heaven. That is the act of repentance. It's not turning from your sin, it's turning from your unbelief. It's turning from your own righteousness to the righteousness of God. Now watch this. But not only that, a person who is lost is a body and a soul, but they have a dead spirit. And the Bible says that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves inside of you. And it rebirths your spirit. It literally is the word regenerate, or to regeneticize. You get the eternal genetics of God spiritually in your life.
Amen.
You get new DNA.
Amen.
You get eternal DNA.
Right.
Wednesday night, I didn't care if I lived or died. Matter of fact, I was hoping God would kill me, get that thing over with. Can I tell you something? If I would have, I knew where I was going. Now, the process felt like I was going somewhere else, but I was headed there. You see, Jesus came to fulfill the law. Watch this. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. Watch this. That becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit of God.
That's right.
I've said this before. I wouldn't separate. I wouldn't argue with anybody. But I think it's kind of wrong to call a church a temple.
That's right.
Jesus said, I did away with the temple. It's the church. Jesus instituted the church. He said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, not my temple. Because the temple is the body of the believer. Now, I'm not mad at any church. I got saved in a church whose last name was Temple. I understand it. I'm not going to fight anybody over it. It's not a big deal to me. But that's why we're Grace Baptist Church, not Grace Baptist Temple. Temple worship was done away with because Jesus fulfilled it all, Colossians chapter 2. Now watch this. Jesus had to fulfill all the scriptures that were written thousands of years before his coming to prove he was God. Listen to this. The Quran was written after the life of Muhammad, not before. It was a biography, not a prophecy. He didn't fulfill any scriptures. He wrote them while he was here and afterwards. No other religion, and I'm going to use that word loosely, has a Bible written that was that prophesied exact events about its Savior before the Savior came. Not one. The only one that does is that one right there. The place where he was born was prophesied thousands of years before he was born. That's why the wise men knew where to watch for the star. The star was prophesied. His execution was prophesied. Everything about his life was told in advance, and they were told to be watching for it so that when he did, it would lend credibility, or as the Bible said in John chapter 19, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Jesus came to fulfill the scripture, not just to write it. Now, I've got to hurry, but I want to show you four or five things today that are just going to make you excited. Number one, Jesus is the Word of God. John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. If you look at that, it says Word, and it's capital W. That capitalization means it's naming a specific person, place, thing, or idea. Well, we find in verse 14, and the Word, capital W, was made flesh, Christmas, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That must have been Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. We find in Revelation chapter 13 verses, or chapter 19 verses 13 and verse 16, that he is called the Word of God.
Right.
Written on his vesture is his name, the Word of God. Can I tell you something? Jesus is the Word of God. May I say this? Man didn't write the Bible, God did. And when you start messing with the Bible, you're messing with Jesus. Keep your fingers off it.
Amen.
I get a little tired of us messing with Jesus. Hey, Netflix, with your sodomite Jesus, quit messing with the Word of God. Hollyweird is messing around with some pretty nasty stuff, trying to portray Jesus as part of the new rainbow crowd. Well, the only rainbow he was a part of was that he wouldn't destroy the world by flood.
Right.
By the way, may I say this? We don't need man rewriting the Bible. We need man rereading the Bible.
Right.
Never newer manuscripts mean nothing. Usually it means man's perversion. Well, they found newer manuscripts. Can I tell you something? Jesus was quoting scripture. Do you realize when Satan in Matthew chapter 4 took Jesus to the mount to tempt him? Jesus was quoting scripture. He said, scripture says. It is written. Scripture says. Do you realize there had been more time pass from the time those scriptures were written to where Jesus quoted them than from where Jesus was when he quoted them to where we are now? Well, they were only scripture in the originals. Well, they must have still been in their originals 3,000 years before then, because Jesus was quoting it and it kicked the devil out of there, that's for sure. So I guess if it was good enough for Jesus to use, it ought to be good enough for us to use. We don't need modern translation. Well, I just don't understand all the these and the thous. It's real easy. Thee means you. Thou means you. Ye means you. Got it? Thine means yours. Now, if you can understand redneck, watch this, y'all. You can understand the Bible. Sorry, the Bible was written at a third grade reading level. A child can understand the scriptures. You see, the words of God are just as real and just as powerful and just as necessary as when Jesus himself used them. May I say something? The problem in America today is not sitting in the White House or in Congress. Problem in America today is the sissy britches behind the pulpits of America today who are afraid to preach the word of God. That's why everybody wants to believe anything. We've got to get together every few years and have a council and decide what new doctrines we're going to have. Well, there hadn't been another version, there hadn't been another volume written from the word of God. Why do we need to re-meet about it?
Right.
How about we just preach the old one till he come back?
Amen.
So, number one, Jesus is the word of God. Number two, the words of God are powerful. Oh, I don't have time to take you to these scriptures, but let me quote them to you. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. But the word of God is powerful, quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. May I say something? The word of God is quick and powerful.
Right.
It will change the hardest of sinners.
Right.
Brother Fred sitting back there. He got his oxygen on, but I remember the day he was about to die. About four or five times. He still wasn't saved. I said, Brother Fred, he kept pushing it off, white knuckling that thing. He wouldn't get saved. And I said, Brother Fred, if you die, you're going to go to hell. He said, I know, but I'm not ready yet. And I said, well, you don't have much time. Finally, one day, with the old oxygen machine working in his living room, he bowed his head and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. Oh, my soul, what a change in that hard old man's life. And I mean that respectfully. I remember the first time Wally came to church. I said, are you married? She said, I am, but you don't want to go see my husband. I said, I want to. She said, no, you don't. He's chased preachers. I said, it's okay. I've been chased off before. Don't worry. Oh, he stood there. Cold, rainy day, just like today. Stood there in the doorway in his bare feet. And I thought to myself, this rascal's not going to invite me in. I stood there for 25 minutes talking to him, and he's in his bare feet in this kind of weather. And I'm thinking, that's one tough old geezer right there. Boy, he wouldn't budge. But the word of God was starting to work on him. He wanted to find out what we were like, came to our church. He was the most faithful person in church. He was more faithful than saved people were. Finally, he got saved. Larry and Sherry sitting back there. Remember, they came in. They heard the word of God preached. Brother Larry had almost died. I didn't know about it. Been sick real bad. I remember preaching, and they were sitting back over in this section over here that morning. I watched Sherry at the invitation time and tears dripping off her face. She raised her hand that she wasn't saved and got out and walked down that aisle. Came down to get saved, and Brother Larry back there a little stiff yet. And I prompted somebody to go talk to him, and in just a moment, down he came, knelt beside Sherry and got saved. And look what a change. Remember the day, Brother Jimbo, your brother. Brother Jimbo's brother, Loretta, calls me to go visit him. He's dying at the nursing home. Rough. Already had a leg cut off. He was so addicted to booze that they had prescribed him alcohol in the nursing home to keep him calm. I walked in and Jimbo looked at me and said, preacher. Looked at his brother and said, this is my preacher. And then he walks out of the room. Coward. Well, I knew he couldn't chase me out. He couldn't get out of bed, so I was in good shape. I sat down and talked to him for a while and took my Bible out. I opened up that very New Testament right there. And I led Buck to Christ sitting in his bed. I didn't know this till the next day. But when Jimbo walked in, Buck looked at him and said, "Hey, can you go down there and tell them I don't need any of that beer anymore?" He said, "I talked to the preacher. Everything's cared for now." He only lived about a week or so. But what a change. He lived about 2 weeks, wasn't it? I went back with Brother Barnes the next week, and boy, smile on his face. I thought, that ain't the same guy. I tried to convince him he wasn't saved. He said, "I took care of that last week. Don't you remember, preacher?" Started calling me his preacher. He didn't call nobody preacher. Matter of fact, he had shot at people to leave his property that were preachers. I'm not kidding. Oh, he went to heaven, preached his funeral, had over 30 people get saved at his funeral outside his trailer under a tent. There were more guns than people, including mine. Rough, yeah. But it's the word of God that does the difference, not the man.
Right.
It's the word of God. Can I tell you something? Jesus spoke the words at creation. If you go back to Genesis 1, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, divide the waters from the land, and the waters divided from the firmament above and the firmament below." All of creation except man was done by the spoken words of God.
Right.
Matter of fact, Jesus spoke and healed people. Jesus spoke and demons left people's bodies. Matter of fact, the demons of hell obeyed the voice of God. Isn't it amazing that demons have more sense than most people? They'll obey Jesus, but man wants to rebel. Huh. Jesus' words raised people from the dead. Remember his friend Lazarus? "Lazarus, come forth." I don't know if this is true, but somebody said the reason Jesus called him by name, because if he'd have just said, "Come forth," everybody had got up out of the grave. I don't know, but I know it's possible. His words are just as alive today. His words are just as powerful today. His words can break down and calm the hardest of sinners and turn it to a puddle of tears in salvation, just like it always has. Matter of fact, according to Matthew chapter 1 or 4, verses 1 through 11, his words are what defeat Satan. If Jesus had to use the words of God to defeat the devil, what chance do you have doing it on your own?
Right.
Number three, I must hurry. This is something I really want you to pay attention to. This is going to confuse some of you possibly, but I will try to make it very clear. All of the Bible is God's word.
Yes.
Not just parts of it. Notice it says in John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word." Notice in Revelation chapter 19, verse 13, I believe, it says, "Is his name the Word of God?" It doesn't say a Word of God. It's not a word of knowledge. Ooh, I got a word of knowledge. The only word of knowledge you got is right there. You have the words of God. Now, I want you to notice it says the Word. The Word. Now, listen to this very carefully. Man has added the chapters and the verses to it, but it's all God's words.
Right.
I don't think as God gave it, that as man penned it down, he said, "Okay, this is Genesis 1, verse number 1. Matter of fact, if you read in the Hebrew and the Greek, it's done in text form, which is, it's just all written out. It's in paragraph form. Man broke it down to where it was easier for us to find what is there. I don't care about whether it's a verse or a chapter or different things. How it's broken up isn't the issue to me. I just know I hold in my hands all the words of God needed.
Amen.
Yes, sir. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to make a statement here that could bother some of you. I'm going to. Man separated something called Old Testament and New Testament, not God.
That's right.
All of the Word of God is the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
Let me say that again. All of the Word of God is the Word of God.
Amen.
Well, Old Testament's law, New Testament's grace, find that in the Scripture.
Right.
Not there. Matter of fact, no man was ever saved by the keeping of the law.
Right.
You say, well, it was the Mosaic law. Then what did you do for 2,000 years for people who died? Abraham was before the law.
Right.
Noah was before the law. Adam was before the law. Everybody doing okay? Man got saved in the Old Testament the same way we get saved in the New Testament. One difference. Brother Josh, stand up. We've done this before. If this represents Calvary and the resurrection, people in the Old Testament looked ahead at what Jesus would do. We now look back at what Jesus did do. They looked ahead by faith. We look back by faith. Then what were all the sacrifices? Because he had not yet come, he made it bloodier and more real because it was a little harder to believe. We now have the fact that it was done. Wednesday night, we'll do the Lord's Supper. Broken body, shed blood. We do the Lord's Supper in the Old Testament. They did blood sacrifices. They were showing what Jesus would do. Now we have all the record clear. It's already happened. We know it did happen. It doesn't have to be as bloody because it's already been recorded. It did happen.
Sorry.
Thank you. There's no difference in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now listen to me very carefully. We need to see all of the Bible as all of the Bible as Jesus told us to, not just the parts of it we want.
Amen.
Let me read a verse to you in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me turn there very quickly. You need not turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses number 3 and 4. The Bible says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also received, how that Christ died for our sins," watch this, "according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." He did that according to the Scriptures. What were the Scriptures? The Old Testament.
Right.
Now, listen to me very carefully. Just because Jesus fulfilled it doesn't cancel it from being God's words.
Right.
Just because he prophesied that it would happen, and it did happen, doesn't mean that that is not God's words.
Right.
Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Matter of fact, he did that to lend credibility to what he did do.
Right.
For thousands of years, he predicted that what would take place would take place. He fulfilled the Scripture. Why do we want to say, well, that's Old Testament, it doesn't count anymore?
That's good.
Oh no, it's all the Word of God. The Bible has one author, God.
Right.
It had 42 people that penned down the words. You go through the Old Testament, you'll find this statement used a lot. "And the word of the Lord came unto Isaiah," or Ezekiel, or Jeremiah, or the prophet, saying. The word of the Lord came unto them saying. They heard the words of God and put them down and wrote them down. There were a few times where God took his finger and he wrote them himself.
Right.
Boy, that's good stuff. The Bible has one author.
Amen.
That is God. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 18. Let me read that to you. I can quote it, but I want to read it that way. You know that it came straight from the book. "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." God said, until everything's done, until he completes the book, as far as all of history, guess what? Not one jot, not one tittle will be drawn away. It is the same word of God that was given to in the beginning.
Amen.
Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There must be an everywhere Bible or God is a liar. Now listen. Man, religion, denominational, non-soul winning theologians have said we must view the Bible in dispensations or ages of history. I don't think this is a bad word. Poppycock. Manure. That's a bunch of garbage. That's man-made. Abraham didn't get saved any different than you did. You go to Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, Adam. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah.
Amen.
By faith, Abraham. That was all before there ever was what you call a law.
Right.
Matter of fact, it says of Moses, by faith Moses. Say why? Because it wasn't Moses' law, it was God's law.
Amen.
And there were three different laws. Not going there today. In other words, God never said that life has to be viewed in dispensations or age brackets. That's Calvinism. Matter of fact, all of the scripture Jesus quoted was what most people call the Old Testament. People that have been in our church a while often will say to me, preacher, it amazes me how you weave all the Bible together and it all works. I don't do it. God did it. I just preach it to you that way. I don't look at the Bible as Old Testament, New Testament. I look at the Bible as the Bible.
Right.
Everybody doing okay? That's where this false doctrine, the heresy of Old Testament law, New Testament grace came about. It came about because John Calvin said everything's done in different age groups. It's called Calvinism and it's wrong.
Right.
Didn't come out till about 1400s, 1500s. Do you know it's only been the last 400 or 500 years anybody believed that? Man wants to pick and choose what he wants to believe instead of letting all the Bible tell him what he should do.
Right.
Boy, that's good stuff. I've got to hurry quickly here. We should learn the Bible. We ought to read the Bible.
Right.
We should read and learn the only words God ever wrote, the Bible. Acts 17:11 said we ought to read the scriptures daily. Matthew chapter 22 verse 29 says that the scriptures would keep us from error. 2 Timothy 2:15 says that we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy 3:15 says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Guess what? We ought to read the Bible.
Right. Yes,
sir. I have something that I will give you at the end of the service. I have two different Bible reading programs, I guess is the right word, or ways in which you could read the Bible. One is all 66 books of the Bible, and there is a box for each chapter. And as you read it, all you do is check off the box for the chapter that you read. I'm not asking you to read through the Bible in a year. I'm just asking you to read through the Bible. You can do it in any order. I am partway through my fourth time through the Bible this year. But I live in the book. It's part of my job. I read the Bible 3-4 times a year. I'm not asking you to do that. I'd rather you read just a little bit of the Bible every day and get something out of it than to read through it in a year and get nothing out of it. I'd like you to read the Bible every day. This is a good way for you to keep track of it. I also have for you something that I think is very unique. And I be honest with you, I've not done this. And I'm going to one of my times through the Bible this year. This is a plan for you to read through the Bible as it was written chronologically. In other words, It's put together to where all of the stories that overlap are put together from all the different books. For instance, most people don't realize that Job fits right towards the beginning of the book of Genesis. Job was prior to the flood. Just after the flood. See, Job fits in there. And then where all the Psalms fit in with the Kings and how Kings and Chronicles overlap and those chapters put together. And this is a way that in 52 weeks you could read through, or I don't care if you just read through it and don't give a flip about which week it's done in. It'll show you how it was put together chronologically speaking. I think it would be a neat way to do it. Now, this is how I think of the Bible, just so you know. As I read the scriptures, I've read it so much that in my mind, I kind of put it together that way because I'm just that familiar with it. That's not arrogance. It's just that's how it works for me. But can I say something? I don't care how you read it. I think you just ought to read it every day.
Amen.
I am more concerned with you reading it every day than I am getting through it in a year. Say why? Because God says, search the scriptures daily. Number five, and I'm done, and I'll hurry. The word of God is what gives us eternal salvation. You are not saved by man's words. You're not saved by religion. You're not saved by a preacher or a church. You're saved by the word of God.
Amen.
Psalm 138:2 says, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Did you know that Jesus puts his word above his name because he is only good as his word? His word is what gives credibility to his name. And guess what? His name's pretty important. Acts 13:26 says, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of God, or the word of this salvation, sent. The word of this salvation. John 5:38-39. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they which testify of me. You don't have salvation because somebody spit holy water on you and sprinkled spoofle dust and said a prayer, a hocus pocus over you, and you paid your money and bought some beads and prayed through Mary. No, you get saved by the word of God being born in you.
Amen.
Acts 10:17. Well, you say salvation's by faith, preacher. Yes, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Say, what is that? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You get your faith because of the word of God. How did that happen? Romans 12:3. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Brother Juan, I love you, but you didn't have enough faith to get saved. God even had to put in you enough faith to get saved. And the moment you heard the word of God and the truth of God, you said, that's what I need. But it was the word of God that did it, not some man. I believe in knocking on doors, telling folks about Jesus Christ. I've seen thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people get saved out soul winning in preaching meetings. I've seen hundreds of thousands of people get saved. But can I tell you something? It's not an emotional experience. It's not 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. It is the word of God doing something in the faith of man that causes him to do it. Well, we don't know if they did it unless we see a change. Would you get off your high horse and quit trying to play God?
Right.
Who made you God to judge somebody's salvation?
Good.
You could deny all you want that Ashley's pregnant. Just say she had too much for Christmas. Man, I'm going to pay for that one, aren't I? Don't get a redhead mad at you. Don't get her wound up. I told her she's got to wait till my birthday to have that thing. She's due in a week. You only got to wait till May 23rd. Can I tell you something? You don't even have enough faith to get saved. God had to put the faith in you to get saved. John and Lisa sitting back here, they're new folks in our church. A few weeks ago, they came and visited our church, heard me preach, and the Word of God started working on them. They came to an old-fashioned altar, and a couple soul winners dealt with them, and they got saved. What they didn't know is their daughter Zoe was back in junior church doing the same thing. Because she heard the same thing. And after they got off their knees, Zoe was sitting over here, and Dad was sitting there, and Mom there, and two ladies taking their names. And my son Josh goes, "Hey, look over there." And they looked up and saw Zoe. And he said she did the same thing. Big old tears running down their face. Last Sunday got to baptize all three of them. Say, what is that? The Word of God. Whether there was emotion involved or not isn't the issue. They trusted what Jesus Christ said. But may I say this? It wasn't your faith. It was the faith of Jesus Christ that he put in you.
Yes,
Galatians says you're not saved by your faith, but by the faith of Christ.
Amen.
He is the Word of God.
Sir.
It's his faith. Everybody doing okay? God has given to every man the measure of faith. That when the Word of God meets up with that person's desire for salvation, we instantly see the new birth. Give me 2 minutes. I'll close with this story. I've used it before. I'll use it again. I was flying from Chicago to Kansas City, Missouri to preach. I had prayed for weeks before I flew to preach. Said, "God, while I'm on the plane, fairly long flight, would you put somebody beside me to get saved?" I get on a big old 727. Three people on this side, three people on that side. I'm on the aisle about halfway back. Everybody's filling in. And they said, "We're holding the plane for one passenger, folks. We have a very full flight today. Every seat will be taken." Well, the guy that was sitting up against the window shade, he was already slobbering on the shade, snoring by the time I got there. Well, unless he wakes up, this ain't going to be good. And there was only one seat on the plane empty, right there. Sure enough, they held the plane for a few minutes, and this little dark-skinned Indian girl jumps on the plane with a red dot on her forehead, and she's coming down the aisle. I said, "Okay, God, that's not funny." I knew where she was going to sit. There was only one seat left on the plane. I stood up as she got back my way, and I said, "May I help you with your bag?" She said, "You would do that?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She couldn't reach the overhead bin. She was so short. It's like my wife. I shouldn't have said that. Hopefully the kids are loud in the nursery. I sat back down, and of course, I had been working, and I popped the tray back down, threw my Bible back up, and started working. She said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I am." I said, "Are you a Christian?" She said, "Oh, no, I'm a Hindu." In my heart, I looked at God and said, "That's really not funny. God, I asked you for somebody who would get saved." We began to push back, and they're going through their little speeches of, you know, your cushion could be used as a flotation, which never made sense when you're not flying over water, but they still say it. "I hope there's a big puddle down there." We got to the point where they're coming through to put your trays up in your seat in your upright position and all that kind of stuff. I pushed everything. I kept my Bible on my lap, and she said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Kansas City to preach." She said, "What you going to preach?" She's on a locked tin can. She ain't got nowhere to go for an hour and a half, 2 hours. She asked that question to the wrong person. And I opened up my Bible and I began to explain salvation to her. She said, "Would you tell me more?" I said, "I sure will." And at 37,000 feet, I watched that little Hindu girl bow her head with tears dripping on the pages of my Bible, trusting Jesus Christ as her Savior. She said, "Sir, can I tell you a story?" I said, "You may."
She said, I grew up in India in a little village. She said, I wasn't even supposed to be on this plane. I didn't find out till 11 o'clock last night I was supposed to be on this plane. She said, the fella that was supposed to take this flight got sick and they called me and said, need you to be on that flight first thing in the morning. She said, every day in my little Indian village, I would go out at the edge of town at the evening and say, there's got to be something out there that I need. I don't know what it is, but I need it. She said, I didn't know who I was talking to. She said, but I wasn't convinced that where I was or what I was doing was enough. She said, is what I did what I've been looking for these 20-some years? And I almost said, let me off this plane for a second. I'm about to shout. I said, yes, ma'am, it is. She said, when I trusted Christ, she said, something changed in me. I've never experienced that. I said, and you never have to experience it again because you got it the rest of your life. Oh, we talked. She asked question after question. I mean, 2 hours or so on that plane. I was wrung out by the time I landed. Kansas City at that time, it's not a very big airport. They only have 2 carousels in their baggage claim. I think I was on the one on the far right. Preacher met me there, picked up my bag, and I'm walking across. I got just past the second carousel, and I heard this little voice saying, Reverend, Reverend. I turned around. There's a little dot-headed Indian girl with tears running down her face. And she ran up to me and she said, I may never see you again here, but I'll see you in heaven someday. Turned around and walked away. Say, what was that? The Word of God. The Word of God. Folks, it wasn't me. That's the Word of God. He is the Word of God. He can change your life. He is powerful. And we need to be in the Word of God and use the Word of God. And we need to share the Word of God with others so they can know heaven as their home. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I went over a few minutes. I apologize, but it's important. Who would say, preacher, if I died today, I am 100% sure. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I know for sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You may put your hands down. I will not embarrass you and not call you out. I would not ever do that. But is there one that would say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure, but I'd like to know that. Would you raise your hand? All right. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon today, something I needed, and that was for me. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Scores and scores and scores of hands. Thank you. You may put them down. I wonder, is there one today that say, preacher, in the next year, I'm going to do my best to read my Bible every day for a year. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Many, 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 many hands. Thank you. Whatever you raised your hand for, in a moment, the piano began to play. When the piano begins to play, if you raised your hand, how about you come and kneel at an old-fashioned altar? If you've been saved and never baptized, we could take care of that today. It doesn't get you to heaven. It just is a way of letting everybody else know that you've been saved. If you've been saved and baptized by immersion, we'd love to have you join this church. No holds barred, told you what we are today. Maybe you just need to kneel at this altar and ask God to help you as you read the Word of God. Help you to read it on a regular basis.